ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 1. Today we'll be reciting text 37. Shri Vasudeva Vacha. Remember, this chapter is very important. There's Vasudeva, who's Krishna, and there's Vasudeva, who's the father. So this is Vasudeva, not Vasudeva. Okay, please. Otherwise we get confused. We don't know who's speaking. Is it Krishna or is it his father? Shri Vasudeva Vacha. Shlaganiya Ganakshurayar. Bhavan Poja. Yashaskaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Kanyat. Striyam Udvaha Parvani. Shri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shlaganiya Ganakshurayar. Bhavan Poja Yashaskaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Hanyat. Striyam Udvaha Parvani. Shri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shlaganiya Ganakshurayar. Bhavan Poja Yashaskaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Hanyat. Striyam Udvaha Parvani. Please chant. Shri Vasudeva Uvacha. Sakatang Bhaginim Hamyat. Siyam Udvaha Bharvani. Shri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shlaganiya Gunakshurayar. Pavan Bhojaya Shashkaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Hanyat. Sriyam Udvaha Parvani. Vaninath, what are you doing? Back to the sloka, please. It's 37. You're at 35 right now. This is a benediction of modernization. When it was a board, it couldn't move. One more, 37. Okay, there we go. Shri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shlaganiya Ganakshurayar. Bhavan Bhojaya Shaskaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Anyat. Sriyam Udvaha Parvani. Vaishnavis. Shri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shuraya. Bhavan Bhojaya Shaskaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Hanyat. Suryam Udvaha Parvani. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shlaganiya Gunakshurair. Bhavan Bhoja Yashaskaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Hanyat. Sturiyam Udvaha Parvani. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. Shlaganiya Gunakshurair. Bhavan Bhoja Yashaskaraha. Sakatang Bhaginim Hanyat. Sturiyam Udvaha Parvani. Okay, synonyms. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. The great personality Vasudeva said, Shlaganiya Gunaha. A person who possesses praiseworthy qualities. Shurai. By great heroes. Bhavan. Your good self. Bhojaya Shakaraha. A brilliant star in the Bhoja dynasty. Saha. One such as your good self. Katam. How? Bhaginim. Your sister. Hanyat. Can kill. Sriyam. Especially a woman. Udvaha Parvani. At the time of the marriage ceremony. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Vasudeva said, my dear brother-in-law Kamsa, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage? Please repeat. Vasudeva said, my dear brother-in-law Kamsa, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty. And great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage? So, Srila Prabhupada's report. According to Vedic principles, a brahmana, an old man, a woman, a child, or a cow cannot be killed under any circumstances. Vasudeva stressed that Devaki was not only a woman but a member of Kamsa's family. Because she was now married to Vasudeva, she was Parastri, another man's wife. And if such a woman were killed, not only would Kamsa be implicated in sinful activities, but his reputation as king of the Bhoja dynasty would be damaged. Thus, Vasudeva tried in many ways to convince Kamsa in order to stop him from killing Devaki. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deva Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Srinivani Pashyate Deshtarani Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavasya Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ranganathan Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vataksha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhena Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripe Vancha Kalpaturubya Shakripa Sindhubyeva Chapatitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadan Harishivasani Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So a number of devotees approached me just before giving class to say please knock us out, including Jagarini Mataji was visiting, and I was thinking, gosh, I'm having so many senior moments lately. I'm lucky if I can remember Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Like yesterday. I'm not kidding. Yesterday I went to Chase to the ATM there. And previously, in, with the old cards, you put it in and you take it out right away, and then you do your business and you go away. But with the new cards that have a chip in it, you put it in and you have to leave the card in the machine while you're doing your business. So, of course, having a senior moment, I walked away and left the card there. So I got home and I'm thinking, oh my God, where's my card? And I ran back to the bank. And fortunately, the guy who came after me saw the card and handed it into the bank. And the bank people know me. I've been banking there for decades, so they just gave it back to me. No questions asked. But like I say, you know, as you get older, you have all these senior moments. I'm lucky if I can remember Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, but speak of giving a decent class. So here, Vasudeva is trying to instruct Kamsa, who, because he's extremely demoniac, is not really going to hear what Vasudeva is saying. That is the nature of the demon, or anyone who is mired in material consciousness, is that they cannot hear good instructions. Prabhupada used the example of the mudha, rascal, fool, who's sitting on a tree branch, and he's cutting the branch between himself and the trunk. So, an intelligent person goes by and says, stop! What are you doing there? You're going to hurt yourself. And he says, ah, leave me alone. So he keeps sawing, and of course, he falls. So then, he thinks, man, this guy must have been able to see the future. So he runs after the guy thinking he's an astrologer or something. So Prabhupada used that as an example of a foolish person. Also, for astrology, he said, who goes to an astrologer? Only a fool. Because whatever is going to happen is going to happen. So, foolish persons, demoniac persons, they don't like to hear good advice. When you give them good advice, they become angry. So Kamsa remains angry while Vasudeva is trying to give him good instructions, up until the point where Vasudeva promises to bring each of the children when they're born. Then he became a little bit pacified enough to continue driving the chariot. So, in material consciousness, we become so foolish that we think we don't understand that everybody's going to die anyway. This is the topic of the next verse coming up. And the verse from the second chapter is quoted, Jatasihi Juvam Mitchur Juvam Janma Mrtasyacha, that for one who's taken birth, death is certain. So we don't see that, and we think we have to hasten the death of other people, just like recently what happened in Brussels. You know, these demoniac people, they strap a bomb. Just imagine getting out of bed one day and deciding, today I'm going to strap a bomb on my body and go out in public and just detonate it and kill whoever is there. I don't care. You know, this person supposedly was Muslim, but there are many Muslims who work in the Brussels airport. Who knows? Maybe they are coming through the airport. So they don't really care who they kill. They're just so demoniac, they just want to kill somebody. Today I'm going to put on a bomb on my body, go into public and just detonate it and kill whoever is around. Such demons. So Kamsa was a demon of that nature, that caliber. To save his own life, which is going to be taken away anyway, the body is going to be taken away ultimately. For sure. For death is certain. Like they say, death and taxes. But taxes somewhere or other you can finagle your way around that. But death for sure. And you're going to die. So before death comes, you're supposed to figure out how to qualify yourself for a better situation in the next life. But no, these people, they hasten other people's deaths. That's their contribution to society. I will kill you, and I will kill all my enemies. This is from the 16th chapter. He is my enemy, and I've killed him, and all my other enemies will be killed. This is how the demoniac person thinks. So much wealth is mine today, and will increase in the future more and more. So they think like that. But what have you actually accomplished? You kill yourself by detonating this bomb, and you kill so many other people around you. And it's just the beginning of the miseries. You don't know what miseries you've brought upon yourself by doing that. So recently, on Sunday, we've been hearing Prabhupada reciting from the sixth chapter of the first canto. I'm sorry, the seventh canto, Prahlad. And Prahlad is explaining how 100 years have wasted, 50 years in sleep, etc. So actually it's better to sleep than to get up and do something like that. It's better you sleep. At least when you're sleeping, you're not committing 2 minutes sinful activities. Maybe on a subtle platform you're engaging in some illicit activities, but at least on the gross platform you're not accumulating more and more sinful reactions. But we see when they wake up, practically from the moment of being awakened to the moment they go to sleep, nothing but sinful activities, and therefore they're just accumulating more and more and more sinful reactions that they have to suffer in the future. Like these, you know, people who blew themselves up. Better they had slept in that day. So, The demoniac mentality cannot be denied. It exists. And Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of God, again, accurately describes it in the 16th chapter. So we have to be careful. Because in this Kali Yuga, we're all born with these demoniac tendencies. And it's not just because we put on sari and dhoti and kurta and tila that they go away. We have to really be on guard. So one of those verses in the 16th chapter that Krishna says, and this is something that we can really watch out for in our daily activities, pravritim cha nivritim cha jana navidu asura na socham na pichacharya na satyam teshu pijate. So these things we can watch out for. Pravritim cha nivritim cha. The demoniac person doesn't know what should be done and what should not be done. So just the opposite, the brahmanas or the transcendentalists, they know at every moment what to do and what not to do. So we can inquire every moment as we go through the day, is this something that I should be doing or is this something that I should not be doing? Very easy. And if you've been a little bit inculcated into the Krishna conscious philosophy, then you know. You don't have to, you know, have somebody following you all day long with the Bhagavad Gita. If you've heard enough of this philosophy, you know this is something that I should do, this is something that I should not do. So that's the beginning of taking ourselves out of the demoniac mentality. Jana Navidur Asura. Nasocham. They're not clean. So again, this is something that we can inquire of ourselves. Are we maintaining ourselves properly in a clean manner? Cleanliness, internal and external. External cleanliness by taking bath at least once in the day. Sannyasi is supposed to be 3. Householders at least 2. The brahmacharis can get away with 1. Why? Because they become so regulated that they get up in the morning, they go to the bathroom, they take care of their bathroom business, then they take shower and they can stay clean for the rest of the day because they don't have to go back. If you go back to the bathroom to do that business, then you have to take another shower. But generally speaking, the brahmacharis are so regulated that they get up and they take care of their body, take bath, and then for the rest of the day they can run around and serve the spiritual master and be considered clean. But external cleanliness by taking bath, and which means again, we've all been trained, or at least I hope so, at least in the early days they used to drum it into us, all 9 gates of the body have to be cleaned with water every single day. If you don't do that, then you're not clean. You're not clean externally. And internal cleanliness is maintained by chanting Vedic mantras especially. We know we stress Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we're regularly, again, hearing and chanting of all the Vedic mantras, especially Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we maintain internal cleanliness. But it shouldn't be hearing that goes in one ear and out the other. We have to try to arrest it in between the 2 ears. And in other words, think about what we hear. Think about what we hear. Just that we're very fortunate here. We have this, it's now part of our Dham presentation here in New Dwarka that every morning we read from the Bhagavatam or some scripture. So this morning, we were hearing about the different stages of bhava. Who remembers? There are 3 stages. Anubhava is 1. Yes? 2 more to go. Sthayi bhava and Mahabhava. Yes, these are the 3 stages that we're Prabhupada was discussing this morning. So we should try to hear and listen. Even if some or other you don't make it to class, if you come to Mangalarti and you just hear that reading and you meditate on that reading for the rest of the day, that will keep you clean internally. So again, we're very, very fortunate to come in contact. Now here in today's purport, proper distressing, that there are different classes of living beings on the human platform, obviously, who should not be killed. So the brahmana, the old men, women, and of course, children and cows. So those who are in position of leadership especially have to take this seriously. Everybody should be given protection, being praja, born in the state. Prabhupada would ask that on a very regular basis. He said, they're so foolish, they're thinking that citizen means only the human being. But he said, no. In the Vedic conception, even the trees, they're born in the state. They live in the state, they grow in the state, they should be given protection. Animals, the birds, everybody, they're praja, they're born in this state, they should be protected, not killed unnecessarily. So, but especially it's being stressed today, these classes of beings, the Brahmanas. Veda culture means Brahminical culture. Krishna is Go Brahmana Hitayacha. So the Brahmanas always come first. And any society which does not respect and maintain Brahmanas is animal society. And this is what we have today. There are no Brahmanas, no qualified Brahmanas, and the few that are trying to become Brahmanas, they're looked down upon. You're simply wasting your life. Go get a job. They don't realize we're very, very thoroughly and completely employed by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. But it's a joyful employment. Just like the last night the devotees were in Santa Monica chanting, and Shastakrit Prabhu posted a picture of a waitress from a restaurant with Bhagavad Gita. She heard the chanting and she saw how happy the devotees were, so she came out and bought a book. So this is the best job. You go out and chant in the streets, and just by chanting in the streets, you're saving people. The ones who are fortunate enough to be so attracted that they request a book, the ones that allow themselves to be convinced to buy a book, and even if they don't get a book, if they simply hear the chanting, it's the beginning of the end of their material life. And many times I jokingly point out that even the ones who cover their ears, by the time they cover their ears, it's too late. The mantra already went in. And so, again, it's the beginning of the end of their material existence. So this, again, is the best employment. The Vaishnavas are employed by the spiritual master in the job of saving the conditioned souls. But if we don't take our own salvation seriously, then nobody's going to take us seriously. Like sometimes we have this odd phenomenon of somebody, it's happened in the past and probably still happens today, some devotees, neophyte obviously, they become very much attached to preaching and going out and distributing books. But after distributing two books, they go around the corner and smoke a cigarette. So that kind of preaching, we should try to get off that platform as quickly as possible. It's a mixed bag at best. So people are, they're not so impressed with that. Better we really, really live the life that we're preaching, and then people appreciate that. Like Jayadvaita Swami tells a story of going through the New York airport, and this woman, one of the desks there, she said, "I really like your people. You really are who you pretend to be." From a New Yorker, that's a very, very big compliment. You really are who you pretend to be. So that's what we should do. We should really try to be who we're supposed to be. In other words, clean internally and externally. We should know this philosophy and try to live the philosophy. Prabhupada himself said that. Not that somebody stops you and asks you what's in the book and you say, "I don't know, I just sell them." Not like that. We should really try our best to learn what's in these books, to try to live them. And then people will be impressed. People will be impressed. And they respect us. Just like recently the cops had to come here because somebody was giving them trouble. And I was not directly involved, but I happened to be close enough to hear the sergeant. It was an old guy, He'd been around, obviously. And he knows us, and he was very polite and very, like that, because he knows. The cops in general, they say, the Hare Krishnas, wherever they live, it's usually peaceful and quiet. There's hardly any crime in that block. Because, not only do we try to live a transcendental life, but we try to respect the laws of the land and live accordingly. And we're also usually pretty vigilant, so we try to keep undesirable elements away from wherever we live. This is Vedic culture. So we should, again, meditate on today's presentation. Vasudeva is trying to instruct the demons, and we should, to the best of our ability, instruct the demoniac aspect of our own existence and then also give good instruction to others. Rishabhdeva said in the fifth canto that the king, the guru, and the father or parent has a responsibility to instruct the citizens, the disciples, and the offspring. And even if the citizens, disciples, and offspring, they don't take the instruction right away, don't get angry. Just keep giving them the instruction. This is the point. So we can't get mad that we've been, preaching for decades and people are actually being affected. People are being affected. And you never know when Krishna's going to flip that switch and really send them into high gear for going forward in Krishna consciousness. But that's not up to us. Prabhupada used to say, don't worry about the outcome. Just go out and preach. You don't have any control over that. And even if there's nobody there, preach anyway because there are insects in the walls. That vibration is good for everyone. Good for everyone. Sometimes the devotees would complain like that they went to some preaching engagement and there was hardly anybody. The Prabhupada said, don't worry. And he set the example himself. He came and he just kept preaching. He was preaching uptown Manhattan, not much was happening. He went downtown Manhattan and initially it seemed not much was happening. He went into the park and started chanting. And then gradually, people started coming. So we should never feel frustrated in our preaching endeavors and preaching attempts. People actually appreciate. Just like we did a program at Whittier College before I went to India, so that meant I left here, February 22nd? It was just a few days before I left. And I just now got a thank you note from the professor, who's a Muslim, by the way. And she very much appreciated the presentation, and students appreciated like that. So, but we don't worry. If people may thank you profusely immediately, or they may thank you a year down the road or whatever, they may never thank you. It doesn't matter. We simply go out and, as a matter of duty, do what we know will please Srila Prabhupada. Do what we know will please Srila Prabhupada. Because he set the example himself that you just go out and be relentless about it. Don't stop. Don't stop. There is no stopping in Krishna consciousness. There's just forward progress. That's all. Everything we do is bringing us one step closer to back to home, back to Godhead. And we should try to avoid the kamsa mentality where we get good instruction and we get angry. If we're doing something that we're not supposed to do and somebody instructs us, we should take it. That the spiritual master's instructing me, that Krishna's instructing me to stop. We should take it in that mood. Not that, who are you to tell me what to do? No, we should never have that mentality. In one sense, every one of us should think that it's just me and Krishna on one level. Because either I'm dealing with Krishna directly, later on if I'm fortunate, or I'm dealing with Krishna's energy and Krishna's present. Krishna's present. Andantarastang paramanancha antarastang. He's there in every atom and in between every atom. So literally at every moment you can think, I am dealing with Krishna. It's just me and Krishna. Whether I'm dealing with Neela or Savas or some guy in the street, I'm actually dealing with Krishna. And Krishna's personally present. He's witnessing. He's controlling everything. So in one sense, technically, we are, each of us individually, only dealing with Krishna. And that living entity, who may even deny Krishna's existence, like Kamsa, we can become so covered over, like Kamsa, that we literally think we can kill God. That was his plan, to kill Krishna. And he became totally absorbed in that. And his reward for being so absorbed in trying to kill Krishna is that Krishna killed him. We know that's coming later on in this chapter, in this canto. Now, not every living entity is so fortunate to have God personally come and kill them. But he's killing them through his material energy. There is a death again. The death is already certain. So we don't have to make plans to kill other living entities. We should make plans how to deliver them so that this will be the last death. We should be interested in that ourselves. And this will be my last death. Please, Krishna, I'm sick and tired of this material existence. I want to go back to home, back to Godhead. Don't try to be on the topmost platform immediately. Those who are on the platform of Mahabhav, they don't care where they are. They could be in hell, they could be in heaven. It doesn't matter, because they're totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But in the beginning, the impetus has to be there, how to get out of this entanglement. Who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? How can I get out of it? If we prematurely think, birth after birth, it's just because we're lazy and we don't want to apply Krishna consciousness properly. We should have this mood of wanting to get out of here and taking as many people with us as possible. It's just a horrible place, a place where people put bombs on their bodies and blow other people up. Who wants to live in that atmosphere? I actually went through that airport last year on my way to the Ukraine festival. So anywhere we are. Actually, that whole trip, I've said that before, practically every place I visited, I was in France, I was in Paris, went right by that stadium that they attacked. And one day I went to see the original Paris temple, and then from there went to the Eiffel Tower, and you pass through that restaurant road that they attacked. So practically everywhere I went last year, later on some attack took place. So we never know. Someday I may happen to be there when the bomb goes off. So at every moment we have to be serious. We have to know that at any moment this could be my last breath. We have to take it seriously. That I want to come to this platform of at least Sai Baba, and get to the beginning platform of real Krishna consciousness, real absorption in Krishna consciousness. Then Anubhav, then Mahabhav. So we have to take it seriously that we don't have a long time to go. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, Komara Macha Pragya Dharma Bhagavatam, you have to start early. Start from 5 years old because you don't know if you're going to make it to 25 or 35 or 65. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. When whatever age you are, the body that means, because we're all eternal, but whatever age your body is, that could be the last day. So you have to take it very, very seriously. And when we take it that seriously, then we automatically feel motivated to give it to others. We see a way out. It's just like if you're in a burning building and you find a way out, automatically you want to tell everybody else, come, come, come. That's human nature. If you don't have that desire, then you're not human. A human being automatically, when you find something good or some escape out of danger, you want to share with others immediately. So if we're taking it seriously and we're really feeling that we're making progress getting out of this materially contaminated existence, then automatically we want to share with others. We automatically want to give it to others. And even if they're not inclined to take, we find some way to get them to, again, by going out chanting, they're getting delivered, by giving them prasadam, what to speak of books. And this way we're working cooperatively under the direction of Srila Prabhupada to get people out of here. And that's another thing, that we never think of ourselves as preachers. We are assisting the preacher, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada himself said that when that day, when one morning walk, I think it was, when the devotee said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when I'm preaching, the Prabhupada said, cut him off. You're not preaching. I'm preaching. You're assisting me. So we should always think like that. How can I become a better assistant to Srila Prabhupada in his preaching endeavors? And this will keep us safe. So Kamsa will not be pacified immediately, but eventually he will relent and not kill his cousin sister, and the story will unfold. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Maninath Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned in your class that while sleeping, we are not making sinful activities.
Right.
So while sleeping, we kill mosquitoes, and while breathing, we are killing so many living entities, so it's not a sinful.
Yeah. So of course, I mean, I said it's like a reduced state of sinful engagement. At least when you're sleeping, you're not engaged in so many overt sinful acts. But people are so foolish, they don't even accept karma, even though it's so evident, you know, it's because it's not always instant in the reaction to the sinful activity, then people don't accept it. But then later on, when the reactions come, they wonder, why me? This is foolish. Why you? You're getting it because of something you did in the past. Sometimes it's instant, like that story I've told many times of the guy who shot down the cactus and it fell right on top of him and killed him. So many times he had gone out to the desert and done that. He shot the cactus, they fell down, and he just got a good laugh out of it and went home. But this one time he shot and fell forward and killed him. So sometimes the karma is instant, and there's no question of why. He did it, killed it. But most of the times it's not like that. You do something and you can go years or even lifetimes before the reaction comes. And then they don't make the connection. Why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. Why do I deserve this? Why doesn't God, if there's a God, why doesn't he stop my child from dying from cancer or whatever, you know, then people think like that. When things are rolling along, you know, yeah, practically no thought of God. It's my credit. I did it. I got that degree. I got the good job. I did that. But as soon as something bad happens, they want to blame God. So this is the duty that we have, to understand this philosophy thoroughly ourselves and go out and convince others. And yes, there is a God and you can't blame him. The situation you're in, you created yourself. You made the choices. Just like when I or anybody travels, you make the choice. Which airline, which day, which flight. And then, but once you're on that flight, you can't do anything about it. If it goes down, you're going down with it. So life is like that. You make your choices, and then if your life goes down in a spiral, you can't blame anybody. You made those choices. Okay, anything else, Neela?
They don't know what is to be done, what is not to be done. That Srila Prabhupada, and in our temples, we have so many things that are supposed to be done in the philosophy of reading Bhagavatam, distribute books, preaching, cooking for Krishna. So many endless activities that there's no time for the things that are not to be done. So it's like a railway. And if you just stick on the program, it's going
Jai,
back
that's
to
that. Ideal. That's ideal life. That's ideal life. To be so engaged in the right activities that you don't have time for the wrong activities. Jai. Rantarachim. Oh, Jagarini. Can you give her the mic?
Thanks, Prabhu. You did it. The class was great.
All right,
thank you for that. I just wanted to share something. I had the fortune of going on the yatra this past February and March with Vaisheshika. He takes a group. We spent a week in Puri and a week in Mayapur. And when we first arrived in Jagannath Puri, we met with Madhavananda Prabhu and spent some time talking about the mood we should have while we're in the Dham, kind of set the mood for the yatra. And this is referring back to Kamsa not taking good advice and what you were saying about taking advice. And one of the things that Vaisheshika Prabhu said, and this is at the very beginning of the two-week yatra, was that we should have the mood, I live to be corrected. And he had us all say it over and over again, I live to be corrected, I live to be corrected. So from that day on, we were almost 100 devotees. And the yatra was rigorous. They did a really nice job of caring for us, you know, providing seats and drinks and everything. But it was day after day. It was rigorous, 2 weeks. But it made it so nice because the tendency, especially when you're getting a little, if you're hungry, if you're tired, if you're a little out of sorts, if you feel a little sick, whatever, you tend to be a little, you know, snappy. And I think it's even just human nature. If someone tries to correct you, you immediately want to lash back or disagree or your back gets arched. But this was amazing because we would just turn around and say, I live to be corrected. And it just diffused everything. It made everything so sweet. You know, it worked.
Jai, I didn't see you in Mayapur. Were you there? I saw Vaish.
He was there longer because he stayed through the meetings.
So you came before ILS.
We got there, I think it was the end of February and stayed until, I think I got to Vrindavan in the 20th or something. We got to Vrindavan.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Let us all live to be corrected by Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol.